Welcome back into The Mental Game, where this week's guest is former NFL star Eric Decker.
I think that was the darkest and the hardest time of my life for sure. And it now was kind of a pivot for me. You know, getting to that place was a pivot, like, okay, well, I need some help. I need to have these conversations.
And in this episode, Eric opens up about his NFL career, where he was a star wide receiver going all the way to the Super Bowl. But he also talks about his own struggles with losing his identity in life after football, and also the struggle of losing one of his best friends, both on and off the field, Demaryius Thomas. All of that and much, much more, including how he takes care of his mental health today. But first, I have to tell you about Man Therapy. And guys, I am talking to you because we have to talk about our mental health. It is okay to cry, even when we are not watching sports. We can't just rub dirt on it anymore. We have to talk about how we're feeling and be vulnerable. And that's why you need to go to mantherapy.org and take their 18-point head inspection today. It's a quick 2-minute test that can help you with mental health tools and resources to help you with your mental health today. But now it is time for the latest episode here on The Mental Game with Eric Decker. Welcome back into The Mental Game, where, as you can see, I got a very special guest sitting next to me, Eric Decker. Eric, appreciate you coming on The Mental Game.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got a storied NFL career, a lot of good memories playing for the Broncos, a couple other teams, going to a Super Bowl. You've been very invested in the mental health space as well. And so I want to get into your whole life career. We're here in Nashville getting ready for the big fund recovery event, which I see you got the hat on, obviously supporting. They do great work supporting those who might be struggling with their mental health or substance abuse. Let's get into all that. But first, what does mental health mean to you? It's a question that I ask everyone to start because it's very unique. It's personal to each person. Maybe it's something that you had an event that came up, made you think about it, or maybe it's something you always taken care of. But I'll ask you the same thing. What does mental health mean to you?
Yeah. Well, it's super important to me now. You know, I think the idea has changed. You know, I didn't put much emphasis or think about it when I was younger or even when I was playing. Mm-hmm. Once I retired and kind of had that idle time afterwards, and you know, I got a family and I was keeping busy, but I think when I kind of sat there in my own thoughts thinking, all right, man, what, you know, mental health in a sense, what is important to me? Who am I? What is my identity? You know, and like, where's my worth based from?
Yeah.
And so I think that's when mental health started to become super important. And so, you know, just like physical health, emotional health, I mean, mental health is something you got to work and give time to and develop. And so that, now having young kids as well, is an important thing for me to understand how to teach them, how to build those environments for them to understand and coach them in a sense about it. Because in today's society as well, I mean, there's so many pressures, there's so many temptations, there's so many things to get you kind of, you know, the wrong direction. And so being very conscious of that, and, you know, we're here for a reason. And I think it's an important conversation to have.
For you, you mentioned like thinking about your kids and how they're growing up now. And maybe you look back at how we grew up where you didn't talk about it, especially as a man taught to rub dirt on it, play sports, you know, play if you're hurt, play through it. For you growing up, was the dream always the NFL? And what was kind of that path like for you?
Yeah, I love sports. It was my passion, my way of getting out from my small town kind of as well. But grew up in a small town of 3,000 people in Cold Spring, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Amateur baseball was big. Sports was kind of everything in that city. And so for me, I think I was chasing validation and love almost in a sense of performance.
Yeah.
You know, I think now as an adult, I look back and it is unhealthy. It was a driving factor for me, but it is ultimately a little bit unhealthy. You know, and I think that was just, again, my way to get my dad's attention or just to get seen and get appreciated from those around my community. And so that's why it's such an important lesson now for my kids is like, hey, did you have fun? You know, do you love it? And keeping the passion alive. And obviously I want to see them do well and succeed, but failure is good too. You know, to fail is when you learn the most. And so that was probably the biggest identification for me going through it of my childhood. And it's kind of led on as I got older. And I look now as when I retired, I started to have the injury bug. I had two surgeries in New York, went to Tennessee after I got cut. Got hurt in training camp, Tennessee, played a year, not my best year at all, and then went to New England for camp. And I think I was so mentally and emotionally drained and checked out, and I was kind of scared to fail almost as well, that I was like, you know what, like, I'm done. I was ready to be done. But I truly think it was also because, you know, the foundation wasn't necessarily about fighting back and like just working through that kind of the mental game in a sense, right? And so it's been a lot of fun to kind of, you know, work on myself, learn from, you know, executive director of Fund Recovery, Ryan Kane, has been a huge mentor for me. And just being able to have these conversations as men, like you said, there's a lot of former athletes in Nashville and friends that you get to speak about it, because you locker room isn't really a place to have those conversations.
Well, I think you bring up a ton of great points. I do want to hit on, you went to Minnesota, you're able to play in the league, get drafted, play in Denver, play in New York, play here in Tennessee for the Titans. Then you mentioned that moment of, you know, camp in New England.
Yep.
And it's what stuck out to me hearing your story is that that moment to you seemed like a defining moment of you realizing I might be done.
Yeah.
And you kind of were lost with identity at that point, right?
Yeah, 100%. I think I didn't realize it. I think my wife realized it more, trying to push me to keep playing.
Yeah.
Because it you know, sports has been my life. I played baseball in college as well. And so I'd go from football to baseball season, to football, to baseball. And so, you know, and mixing in school. So I really have time to like be idle or sit there and be like, okay, well, who is Eric Decker outside of sports, right? And so as I retired, and I'm a husband, I'm a father, those are two big things to me. But also was kind of lost spiritually as well. So when I walked off the field, first 6 months were great. Didn't have to answer to anybody. Had free time. Body felt better as it recovered. But I was like, who is Eric Decker, right? And lost in the sense of identity. And the biggest part of that was finding kind of a spiritual, you know, foundation again in myself that I kind of lost. And then it was just being okay with where I'm at. This is the season of life. This is an opportunity for me to get better in the mental health space, maybe to be an advocate to other, you know, players that have gone through it. So I've been more intentional about that. It's also spending time with my kids and being there for them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm blessed to have the ability to do that and spend time with them. And the next thing is, what do I want to do to help my community, to help make an impact? You know, it's and for me, it's not about the money. And I think chasing money as a young kid in sports is something that just comes with the territory. But now it's like, all right, what is it that can be purposeful?
For you, your purpose was football for a very long time. And then you lose that identity per se, and you have to find it yourself. How did you find that answer? Did you turn to, you know, there's a story I had Joe Thomas on, and one of his most famous lines, he talks about, he thought he was finally going to beat Tom Brady, like his 11th year in Cleveland. And he's like, spoiler alert, we got our ass kicked. but he said that was the first time that his wife ever saw him cry. He got into the car and realized, my whole career is a failure. I don't know what to do. We're always going to be losing here with the Browns. And he just felt like a failure. And that was the first time he seeked help. And he started meeting with the Browns team psychiatrist. But when he went to retire, kind of in that same moment, realization that you had, the Browns team psychiatrist therapist told him, you have to treat it like a death in your family because it is completely life-changing. How did you reach out for help? Did you start going to therapy? Were you just talking with your wife? What kind of helped you through that journey?
Yeah, I had obviously just a good friend in a sense at home and my wife, but I seeked out a therapist. I went to kind of an intensive weekend and actually met a lot of close friends today. And we, you know, kind of have conversations weekly about this. And like I said, Ryan Kane, executive director of Fund Recovery, has been a huge mentor as well. And it's a kind of a daily reminder in conversations we have about life. And I think it's the idea that not being okay is okay, right? And like life has stress, life has ups and downs, you know, things get tough. Obviously you go through seasons of life where I was lost for a while. I didn't know what my identity was. I didn't work on it. You know, when I was playing, because I thought I'm gonna play football for this many years. This is my goal, 10, 12 years. I'm gonna get there and then I'll figure it out. Well, it didn't work out like that. And so constantly having conversations about just how I'm doing, where I'm at, what I'm thinking, okay, what's next? Educate yourself in this space. And I think it it makes it normal when you have conversations with other guys that are in the same place. And that was the biggest thing for me. Mentors that have been through this journey, guys that are kind of starting the journey as well with me. And now being able to help those that are behind me, just kind of going into the lull and sense of the valley and being able to talk through them is therapeutical for me as well.
Yeah. Well, it's part of the NFL journey and that brotherhood, that fraternity, because every single one of you that plays in the NFL experiences that same feeling. Was that rock, or was that feeling for you? Was that rock bottom, having that lost feeling, throughout your, you know, your life, your mental health journey? Was that the lowest for you?
I would say so. Yeah. You know, and COVID kind of hit right at the same time, and it just was like isolation, you know, and finding out that, you can't do things on your own. You need, you know, a community. You're not going to solve anything in isolation. I think that was the darkest and the hardest time of my life for sure. And it now was kind of a pivot for me, you know, getting to that place was a pivot, like, okay, well, I need some help. I need to have these conversations. You know, there's stuff that I need to learn. I need to release. I need to, you know, get to a healthier place for my wife and my kids. And, you know, it's been a journey, and it's been, you know, relief, but also just, like half glass full, in the sense that I know that I'm in such a better place and I can now use my journey to help others.
You mentioned like using your journey to help others, but having people around you, your playing career, we didn't talk about mental health for most of it. Yeah. The tail end, people started to talk about it, be more open. Why are you such a passionate advocate for men talking about their mental health? Is it because you experienced a place in sports where we didn't talk about it for so long, and now you can see how much it helps you personally? Or why is it just something that you're just so passionate about?
Yeah, I think it's so important to me because I've been through that journey. I've lived it, and knowing that it's an easy fix, in the sense that you teach young adults, young kids, like the right way to communicate and to be able to talk, be vulnerable. You know, that's the biggest thing, is to be vulnerable, to share your feelings. You know, I think as athletes, we strive for perfection. And so you have this mentality that everything's perfect, you know, and you just kind of stuff stuff down, whether it's, you know, professional or personal.
Yeah.
And it's not true. Like we're all human. We all, you know, have peaks and valleys. And to be able to share your vulnerability with others is so important. So I think that's why, you know, now we're more likely to do it than we were 10, 15 years ago.
We've talked a lot about the brotherhood of the NFL, your teammates, sharing feelings. We were talking before we started rolling, a really tough moment for you and for those teammates, those brothers that you had in Denver, was losing Demaryius Thomas a few years back. That time, I know it had to hurt very much emotionally. But how did you get through that with those brothers, with those teammates?
Yeah, that one hit hard, because learning afterwards, you know, I tried to get Demaryius to come up to Nashville. He was in the Atlanta area for months and months. And, you know, we always couldn't get it to work, but realizing he couldn't drive. They pulled his driver license from him because of his seizures and his health condition. And, you know, just the guy that we were roommates together, we came in the draft together, we worked out, you know, pre-draft together, like we spent a lot of time together, and he was a brother, he was a best friend of mine, and to not be there, you know, to help him through all that hurts, because I feel like I could do more. And that was kind of the initial conversations, like we should have done more, we could have done more. And the reality is that, you know, we band together as you know, coaches, players, all that has spent time, and realize, like, you know what, it doesn't take a lot to pick up the phone and make a phone call and ask how the other person is doing. It doesn't take a lot, you know, just to check in. And I think that was just kind of, you know, a time that stuck in all of us that it's important. These relationships are more important than the busy work sometimes. You got to make priorities in your life. And what is that? What are you going to go away with or take away with in life is the relationships you build, you know, outside your family, your community. And so, it still hurts every time we talk about him. There's so many great memories. My kids talk about him. I got him kind of all over my office at the house. And again, just kind of a lesson to be more conscious and, like I said, more intentional about checking in on individuals.
I think that's really, really important the way you said that. Obviously, honoring Demaryius, he's one of your good friends, brothers, teammates, but using it as a lesson to all of us that, like, just picking up the phone, talking for 5 minutes, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
FaceTime your boys, talk to your family, like, just live in that moment and be there for each other. For you and his relationship, obviously you said you guys came in the draft together, you played so long together, but like the personal stuff behind the scenes that we didn't see.
Yeah.
How close were you? I mean, you guys were boys to my understanding.
Yeah, we were. I mean, his mom obviously wasn't around at that time. His dad was a little bit, but he was like family. He spent holidays with us. We traveled together. We really spent a lot of time because we lived together as well in Denver. And so, you know, he was someone that I relied on, and especially pre-draft. So I came out of college hurt. He got hurt during the draft process. Mm-hmm. And so we were rehabbing together while everyone was gone. And I think going through kind of that uncertainty, having anxiety, having the unknown, obviously we knew we were going to draft it, but not knowing where we're going to go.
Yeah.
You know, we knew we had each other's back. And that was the biggest thing, is we had that connection, and that carried on obviously through Denver and really for the rest of our lives. It's going to be a relationship that is so pivotal in a big moment in my life.
Well, thank you for sharing that and talking about that, because I know it can be hard, but I think the answer that you said of using that as a lesson and learning to love those moments and cherish them and check in, I think is something, because I try to preach as well, because talking, it can save lives. It can help lives. It just, you take for granted sometimes those little moments in life. And so, especially as men or as athletes, you have like those moments where it's just put your head down, work, work, work.
Yep.
But you enjoy moments like this, the conversation we're having now, the moments that we're going to share this week through Fund Recovery and the event they have. It's just living in that moment seems like a lesson that maybe you've learned throughout your career, throughout losing Demaryius, throughout, you know, finding that new identity for you. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say the biggest word for me is connection, I think. And the connection of having, you know, more than a surface conversation.
Yeah.
The depth to what it is, and, you know, what's important, what struggles have you been through, you know, that's relatable, and just being able to do things that move the needle, like Fund Recovery, being able to, you know, raise funds for those that are in need of some, you know, financial help, whether it's substance abuse or it's physical, you know, or it's therapy, mental for mental health.
Yeah.
So I think these moments like this, you do cherish, because you're with people that are like-minded, and you're with people that want to make a difference. And I think that's, you know, the one goal in life is just to make a difference.
In this episode, you've heard Eric and I both talk about needing to ask for help and go to therapy. And that's why I want to tell you about Man Therapy. Guys, look, it is okay to cry for things that aren't just sports or fantasy football or whatever we're doing on a Friday or Saturday night. We have to get in touch with ourselves and take care of our mental health. Look, it is no more rub dirt on it, just suck it up, play hurt. No, we have to talk about how we're feeling. And that's why I want to tell you about Man Therapy. Go to mantherapy.org right now and take their 18-point head inspection. Look, it is a quick and easy, no hard questions, 2-minute test that you can take on your phone or laptop, iPad. Just do it right now, because it can help you so much with your mental health by leading you to mental health resources, tools, and everything you need to know to take care of yourself. And again, guys, you've heard us talk about it in this episode. Eric kind of felt like he lost his identity when he stopped playing in the NFL. We all go through that when we're maybe changing a job or going through, you know, a breakup or something else that is happening big in our life. And we have to take care of our mental health. And you can do it right now, guys, by going to mantherapy.org. And I want to ask you, too, before we get out of here, you had the Fund Recovery hat. We've talked about it a bunch. How did you and Ryan link up, and why is that something that, like, touched your heart and you wanted to be a part of?
So Ryan and I met, 4 years ago, but I've known his family for a long time. His brother and my wife were good friends when they both were here in Nashville 15 years ago. And really he was someone, cause his kids went to the same school my kids go to, that I knew has been through it. And I knew his story, and knew that he would be someone I could trust to to talk with and to learn from and to lean on when needed. And so we built a really close relationship, which got me into helping with Fund Recovery and just this year of taking a seat on the board to kind of help push it forward and help, you know, grow it and help those that are in our community. So I'm excited about what's to come. This event's going to be great, but there's other big things coming down the pipeline, and we're hoping we can really, like I said, move the needle and help individuals.
A lot of fun, meaningful things happening with Fund Recovery. If I can, real quick, before we get out of here, I want to hit on a couple fun things with you with football. Biggest moment, favorite moment for you? You got to play in a Super Bowl with Peyton.
Yeah.
That has to be up there, I'd assume. But is there something that sticks out from your career where you look back and like, yeah, that's pretty freaking cool?
Yeah, I mean, the first memory that always comes to my mind is in 2013 of the AFC Championship game at home. We beat New England in the confetti, and just like that feeling of, all right, we did it. We made it to the Super Bowl. That year didn't finish off the way we wanted to, but really cool, and setting the records we set. I think there's still – We still hold the records offensively for like touchdowns and yards, and just five guys with 10 plus touchdowns. And the second one for me is in New York, actually an overtime win versus New England at home. You know, New York is one of those places, especially with the Jets, that it's either, you know, all in or, you know, you're a bust. And so we were trending that year, and man, just the energy in that stadium was pretty surreal. And one that I'll always cherish.
Yeah, it's super special to hear about those moments. Thank you so much for sharing. Last thing I'll ask you is advice to someone that I usually ask, like NFL players, people that want to go play in the league, which I can ask you, and I've had that answer 30 times on this show. But I think what sticks out to me is you talking about losing that identity. If there's a man out there listening that's going through a job change, a divorce, some just transition in life and feels like their identity is lost, what advice would you give them?
Just keep going, you know, don't quit. Know that you're not alone. I think that's the biggest thing to understand is there's so many of us men that have gone through it, going through it, will go through it. And so lean on, you know, your friends, your community, the help that's there. Mm-hmm. Again, Fund Recovery is a place you can go to and find the help that's needed. But like, it's okay to not be okay, right? I think I've said that a few times, but it's so true. And as men, just to realize that it's stronger to be vulnerable, you know, and that's the biggest thing is to not give up, to keep going, and help's there. And you're going to get through it, and you're going to become a better person for it.
Vulnerability is strength is something that Kevin Gates told me on the show, and I've repeated it 1,000 times because I 1,000% believe it. Eric, thanks so much, brother. Appreciate you coming on. We'll see everybody right back here next week on The Mental Game. And that was an awesome conversation with Eric. I can't thank him enough for coming on The Mental Game and really opening up about his NFL career and his mental health. And you heard us talk about it a lot in this episode, Fund Recovery. Go to fundrecovery.org right now to donate to help those who need help finding and affording mental health resources and recovery when it comes to substance abuse. Look, I've struggled with it in my life. You heard Eric talk about it as well. If you have anything, please help us by donating at fundrecovery.org. Next week on The Mental Game, it is another surprise guest, and your one hint, tennis. It is a tennis star next week, right back here on The Mental Game.